Tonight, one of our favorite people, Mark DiCarlo, rides sidecar. Then you've been waiting all week to hear what Scott Stantis and Dan Katowski think of Tuesday night's election. And finally, we'll preview RewindCon. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It is Thursday, November 9th. Is that, no, 10th. Scott and I were talking. You guys had no idea how long ago the Cubs won the World Series. That's how much time has passed, how it felt as though it has passed in the last week and one day.
Holy Mary.
Since the World Series. Also joining us in studio, that's Scott Stantis, who is the political cartoonist of the Chicago. What?
Was.
Was. That was.
Is there something I have to know?
Time's up.
As of today, you were.
Crap.
I'm frazzled. I was
check your email.
They blind CC'd me.
Kind of weird time to bring this up, Patty, but you might want to look at your phone before we continue.
Drunk.
I've been totally drunk.
That's how we're doing it now. Everywhere you show up, it's going to be, you're fired. Say, welcome to America.
The Cleveland Plain Dealer is looking for a cartoonist, though.
No, actually, they have a very good one.
Actually, I don't know what's happening. Can you cue the music? Can you just go ahead and cue the intro? Seriously, cue the intro. Hold on a second. We're going to start the show over again in just a second. If I could just clear the slates, that would be helpful. Your mic's not on, sir.
Tonight, we're going to do take two of Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. It is Thursday, November 10th. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and I'm thrilled to welcome to the show political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis. Hello, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. State Senator and now CEO of ChildServe, helping disadvantaged children lead better, happier, and healthier lives.
Can I just congratulate Scott on being rehired?
Way to go.
Welcome back to the,
welcome back to the job.
Also joining us is Mark DiCarlo, the host of Fork in the Road. Or on the road? Is it on the road or is it in the road?
A fork on the road, Patty.
Well, can we start the show again?
Jesus, this is going to take forever!
Everyone's... And a woman's down and out.
Tonight, I'm pretty sure it's Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
It is Thursday, November 10th. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Joining us tonight is the political cartoonist of the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis, State Senator Dan Katowski, now the CEO of ChildServe, helping children who are at disadvantage live happier, healthier lives. Hello, sir. Didn't get applause right there. Host of Fork on the Road, and this weekend appearing at RewindCon is Mark DiCarlo. Yay!
Hello.
And also surprise guest joining us in studio is musician and can I say superstar? I think don't make me do this take again.
Superstar.
Wayne Baker Brooks joins us in studio.
Wow. It is.
Awesome. Hello.
He makes a hell of a muffin.
What?
Wayne Baker Brooks. He began as a baker and then became
Irish,
a blues.
Irish baker.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening now.
Yeah, his first album is all blues about baking.
I'm not buying anything.
You don't have Find the Dough? His first album, Find the Dough,
I've heard the Blueberry
Muffin. Show me the dough.
Yeah, the Blueberry Muffin Blues. It's a really good song.
Yeah.
Okay, Craig, he's going to pull that one up and play it for us. That'll be our new intro.
Sourdough rag? You don't have that?
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Well, it seems as though we've run out of time in this segment. We're going to have to...
The Raisin Bran riff? That's one of his best songs.
The Cheeseburger instrumental?
Oh, my God. Awesome. I love that one.
Nailed it.
Do you have the live version? I have a bootleg of the live. It's fantastic.
I got an Osceola version, which is awesome.
22 minutes.
I lost my virginity to that. True story.
And drew a picture of it.
I changed my mind, Craig. We're not going to restart the show. We have to clear
the
studio.
Cheesy story.
Start a different show altogether.
See what I did there?
I did that. It was good.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty much done.
We're done. We'll see you later.
See you tomorrow.
It's been a great show. Tip your waitress.
Okay, we just slapped.
Is this your first day, Patty?
I think we all are feeling a little, just shake it off. Everyone just get up and just shake it off. Shake off the whatever shirt. No one wants to do that. All right. We'll come back in a minute. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Scott Stantis, Senator Dan Katowski, Mark DiCarlo, Wayne Baker Brooks. And Mark, I know that you have an event this weekend I want to make sure people know about before I forget.
Yes, Patty. I'm one of the hosts of the Rewind Con out in the Indian Lakes Hilton.
Excellent.
Which is in Bloomingdale, Illinois, which is a city. I grew up in Downers Grove, and I've never been to Bloomingdale before, and it's beautiful.
Wonderful. Yeah. How far away from the downtown area is that?
Oh, a skosh.
A skosh? What would you say the neighboring town would be?
Roselle.
Oh, that's not far at all.
No. We took the train from Roselle to Union Station this morning and been bopping around the city
Your
all day
wife, Yenny, made it sound as though she was way far away from downtown.
Yeah, and like she made it sound like she was wearing a parka today.
Yeah.
It was 65 degrees.
Yes, you're right.
Right?
I
and
did,
she's
I
wearing
did
a,
see that. I
She's wearing
that.
A parka.
Yeah.
This is my everyday life, Patty.
Well, your everyday life.
I came into the bedroom. It was 83 degrees, and she was under the covers.
Does this annoy you that she seeks warmth in various places and ways?
You know what? I love her so much, it doesn't matter. She's from Cuba, so I get it. But you know what? Really? It's 83 and you have to be under the covers? Are you kidding me?
But I'm sweating just thinking about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Do you believe there's any correlation between the amount of times you try to terrify her and the amount of layers she must
you know
fold
what?
Herself into?
You're an accessory to that, Patty.
I'm not an accessory
yes,
to that.
Yes, you are.
It's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, yeah. I actually wanted to start a page called Scaring My Wife because she's very... You've met Yenny, right?
Yes,
she'll be here in a minute. She's very high-strung, and what I like to do is hide around our home. Like if I hear her coming home, I'll hide in the closet because I know she's got her coat on.
Mm-hmm.
And then she opens the door and I go, ah! And she always does the same thing. She goes, ah! And she shakes her little hands in front of her face. It's like a cartoon. And I can't get enough of it. It's hilarious. It makes me laugh. So I hide in hallways.
If I were her, I would like make my way up the stairs and you know be very loud and make you think that I was and know that you're hiding somewhere
mm-hmm.
and not come in.
No, she does that, and she'll come in and it'll take her forever to get to the closet because she doesn't see me and she doesn't know if my car's there because it's in the garage. But you've seen some of the videos I've posted, the scaring my wife
it's
videos.
Very fun.
They're
yes.
hilarious.
Scaring my wife just needs to be its own channel. Scaring
ScareMyWife.com. Go to the website.
People might think they're looking for something else.
She's been scared the last 2 days, I'll tell you that.
What are they looking for? Now I'm curious.
I guess
what scares
out.
The wife?
Exactly. What is Rewind Con?
Rewind Con is a celebration of television from the 90s and the 80s and the thousands, the aughts. What are we calling them?
The 80s, 90s, yeah, it's aughts.
Aughts, okay.
Aughts, sure.
The
so,
zeros?
Yeah, yeah, the 90210.
Mostly the Bush years?
Right. Mm-hmm. Back when people had those. This is Alan Thicke and the mm-hmm. people from
Growing Pains.
Yes, and
Kirk Cameron going to be there.
He will not.
Okay,
he'll be with Jesus. We're going to do
no. They hang
the New Kids on the Block. People from 90210. Myself, Megan Cavanaugh from Jimmy Neutron Boy Genius. My
nice.
Cartoon wife
there
will be
go.
There. Carolyn Hennessy from ABC's General Hospital will be there.
Mm-hmm.
People will be signing, and there'll be panels.
She's also now. Do you have to say that show that was from the 80s or 90s, or can we also say Carolyn Hennessy from Revenge and True Blood, and also Megan?
You can say all of that.
Megan is also from Cavanaugh from
A League of Their Own.
Yes, that's the one.
And
I was like,
X's and O's on the Elemental Network. Yeah, no, there's lots of fun people, and there's cool stuff going on all day Saturday and all day Sunday. And we have tickets to give away if you can come up with a good trivia question.
Me?
It's your show, Patty.
Okay.
Just because it took you 3 times to introduce the show, I mean, assuming you've got some skills
so
here.
I am so slap happy tonight. I
wow.
think it's been such a stressful week.
It has been.
Well, it's been a bizarre emotional month. If you live in Chicago or a Chicago Cubs fan, and I think we're all over the country. We think of ourselves as being the Chicago station, but we forget that in the middle of the night, people hear us all over the country. People are listening to us on the live stream. So if you're a Cubs fan, this has been an emotional month,
mm-hmm.
and it was a great. And I was sorry I didn't get a chance to see you. You were here on Friday, weren't you? On a Friday, and
yes.
couldn't make it into the studio.
No, I was here for. I was in the stadium. At Wrigley Field.
You call it a ballpark, but that's okay.
Well, I know.
Okay.
I was at Wrigley Field.
I've been corrected. That's why I had to correct
Saturday.
You.
Saturday.
I felt that I should be as condescending
I was
and dismissive as other people are. Yes.
Well, but if you're referring it to in a generic sense, it's the stadium.
Yes.
But it obviously is Wrigley Field. I was there on the 22nd when the Cubs defeated the Dodgers to gain entrance to the World Series. And that was as close to a religious, ecstatic experience as I've ever had. It was amazing.
That sounds wonderful.
People were crying, jumping up and down. We stayed inside for 2 hours. We went outside afterwards with the Windy City Live crew, and we shot a bunch of really funny video with people who I think had been drinking.
No. Oh, is it possible?
No.
I'm thinking.
Well, they stopped serving booze during the seventh inning, so how would they even?
Yeah.
Well, there's a place called Murphy's Bleachers outside the bleachers, and I think people were patronizing that place. But we had a really fun time there, and then I was here in the city for the World Series games 3, 4, 5. We lost 3 and 4. We won 5, which was awesome, and we were in Wrigleyville there, and then we went back to L.A. and watched the Cubs win the World Series. Has anyone seen a better ball game than that?
Oh, no.
No.
Even if you don't care about the Cubs or the Indians, that's
about
a baseball game
baseball.
For a time capsule.
I think there were a lot of people, I had friends who have no interest in sports but knew that this was a historic moment, and they were tuning in, and they weren't quite getting what was happening but knew that it was dramatic, and that's kind of cool.
It was the best baseball game I've seen in my life.
Yeah, and this is from a Sox fan.
Yeah.
I'm
an old Sox fan, but I'm not a hater, so, you know, I can appreciate
mm-hmm.
I like the fact that the non-haters have kind of come up to the surface. I felt like it was difficult for people who weren't haters who were Sox fans, because the haters kind of they took over, right?
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people who are like, I wasn't rooting against you guys.
Yeah.
And there actually, I got a lot of texts from people who were Sox fans who were like, oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
You experienced it. I want you to experience the same thing I experienced in 2005. And I thought that was great.
And plus, you know, I represent Chicago anywhere I go, so I have to represent, you know, the Cubs as well, you know.
And it was such I've been living in Los Angeles for 20 years now, and just the explosion of love and camaraderie and civic pride that came out of that victory. I'm biased, obviously, but it was more than just a baseball game. It was a cultural event that I think the country could celebrate.
I got to tell you, there was a mixture of that feeling of the next day of euphoria and just utter resentment for putting me through it, because I was like, I can't believe you put me through it.
Well, it can't be easy. After 100 years, you had to go through the eye of the needle.
I literally thought to myself after Cleveland hit that homer, I was like, I have to take a baby aspirin, and I don't care. I just go for the baby aspirin. I took one.
Where's the baby aspirin? Where's the St. Joe's?
What's going on?
Are they shaped as actual babies?
Yes, they are. They look like babies. They got little diapers. It's really kind of
baby bottle.
Chunkier. Yeah. Well, they're tasty, like candy diapers.
Yeah,
that sounds really weird, doesn't it?
I don't understand what's happening.
No, I'm just trying to go with the joke.
No, but it could not have been, if you had written that script and submitted it to Hollywood, people would have rejected it.
Rajai Davis, rarely ever, if ever, hits a home run.
And he was so cocky when he was running around the bases, too, with his arm up, going, hey, I just won the game. No, you tied it.
Schmaltz called it. John Schmaltz called it. And he said, the only pitch he can hit, if it's low and inside. And he called it. It was exactly where it was thrown by
Chapman. He was good. I'm not.
He's a phenomenal.
Yeah. Buck.
Why do people hate Joe Buck?
Because he's a Cardinal fan.
That's a Cardinal connection.
That's okay.
Well, but I didn't even know who he was. I was watching the game and listening to the commentary. I was like, "Who's this jerk?" And I didn't know who he was. And I put it on Facebook, and they're like, "That's Joe Buck." So without knowing who he was, without knowing that his Cardinals affiliation, I thought he was a jerk.
Well, but you know what's funny, Joe Buck. His dad and Harry Carey were partners in the 50s, and they were the gold standard of funny, interesting baseball for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And then something happened, and Harry had to leave St. Louis.
That's why.
Do you know what it was? You seem to know more.
There was an intimation he had some kind of dalliance with the Bush family, someone in the, one of the...
Not the presidential
Bushes.
No,
with the SC.
Yeah.
Right.
The Augie Bush, they own the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And then he had a mishap. He was run down in a crosswalk.
Why are you talking as though, it seems like both of you know this independently of each other? Do you not want to spread rumors?
No, we don't.
Just say what you...
Harry's dead. We don't want to spread any...
Yeah, no, he was fantastic.
He was great.
He left in St. Louis and came to Chicago.
I'm just about Harry Carey having an affair with somebody
in the organization.
I still
can't get my hands around that.
He used to be a kind of a presentable looking guy.
A playa. Say playa.
No, he was more
handsome. Oh, he was totally a playa.
He was a handsome guy.
Harry? Oh, come on.
You know?
A hound dog.
But he and Joe Buck together were a spectacularly entertaining baseball announcing team. Absolutely.
It doesn't make Joe Buck any better. More after this on 720 WGN.
The beauty and the moonlight overthrew you.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Musician, singer, songwriter,
Leonard Cohen has died at the age of 82 today, and Senator Dan Katowski mentioned when he came in that he had listened to a podcast about writing the writing of this song in particular. I'm not familiar with the process that he went through. I'm not familiar that much with Leonard Cohen. I mean, I know when I hear his music, I'm like, oh, right, Leonard Cohen. But I know a lot of people are devastated tonight. He was 82. Had you had a chance to meet Leonard Cohen, Wayne?
Never, no.
No?
I used to rent from his gear and rental place in L.A., but that's it.
Never crossed paths?
No.
There are 60 versions of that song.
60?
60.
Oh, at least.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's real fascinating because when he first put it out there, it wasn't really popular. And then they had, I can't think of the guy's name right now, it's blank, but he found
Jeff
it
Buckley.
Jeff Buckley, thank you. He found it on a CD. He was house sitting for someone, and he found the CD that Leonard Cohen's song was there, and he wanted to record it. And he basically he told me he wanted to record it, and he got all these different versions of the song, and there was like 15 different, and Leonard Cohen actually had all these different edited versions. They compacted, they made it more presentable. But he was working on that song throughout the course of his life. And just, and it's an example of a guy who's a, there's some people who are geniuses who spit something out, and there's some people who never give up. They just keep working on it until they get it right.
Yeah.
And that's,
and because he knows that there's something that it has to be, there's something else it needs.
Yeah, they compared him. It's like there's Picasso and there's, I think it's Cezanne. Picasso just churned it out, and Cezanne did it over the course of his life. And you have people sit for a portrait 450 times. And, you know, and this is what Leonard Cohen was, that type of guy. You know, brilliant.
Anyone that can maintain a musical career until they're 82, he just, his new record just came out 2 weeks ago, right? That tells you how good he is right there, to be able to maintain relevance and a musical career that long. He's got the stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Really really beautiful poetry that he really wrote into his songs. And I know a lot of people will, you know, we'll play some of his music throughout the evening. I am I'm going through some of the videos that I've posted on Facebook Live, and there were protesters. And I guess, would you call them more of a gathering of what would you call the kids?
We just walked past them in the way on the way here to the Michigan Avenue studio. It sounded more like a PTA meeting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There was someone on a bullhorn kind of going through
and
the minutes.
One more thing.
One
kids.
More thing. If you have a parking validation, give it to me. I will stamp it for you. Then you can drive back to Oak Park.
What are the PTA meetings like in L.A.? The bullhorn.
It's like a key party.
Oh.
What?
What? Wait a minute, that doesn't, that's a
Wayne.
Strange. What happened?
When
I came upon the protesters on Lower Michigan Avenue and Illinois Avenue, they were seated in the middle of the, kind of in the, on the street on one side, on the eastbound side, and there was a guy with a bullhorn yelling, and, you know, a lot of things about fascism and a racist country, and then he started going at the Chicago Police Department, and I saw one of the guys make his way through the crowd and, like, trying to get his attention, like, could we not go? That's not what we're doing right now.
No, that's not
right
a
now.
Good idea.
And, but there were two gentlemen who seemed to be the sort of, I don't know about organizers, but sort of the, having the communication with the police department and with the protesters, which way they were going to go. They were
the liaison.
Yeah, it seemed as though they were working out the path of where they were headed next. And I mean, it was, I would say, a couple hundred people, mostly young people between, I don't know, between teenage to 30 years old, a couple of older folks. And then along the way, there was, I did get on my Facebook Live video, there was a bar across the street from us, and this guy was like unzipping his pants and telling them to go ahead and participate in oral gratification.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. So I went over. I was going to try to get a video of that guy, what his thoughts were. Hey, you know, follow the story.
Do you think all the protesters actually voted on Tuesday?
I asked, actually, at one point.
And what was the response?
They all said yes. I mean, they were all, I mean, who knows if they're, you know, a lot of people said they weren't voting for Trump, and there you go.
I think a lot of people didn't say at all who they were voting for. Yeah.
Well, you know, we are now, I'm kind of turning to where it's about having a conversation. Last night, I think we had a lot of great calls about, you know, how people were feeling, whether they were celebrating, whether they were fearful, whether they just want to, a lot of people seem to want to wait and see what happens. Where are you now, Scott?
I went out and hung out with the protesters last night and just to see what they were up to and what they were saying. And then coming home, I was all of a sudden hit with this just grinding sadness. And, you know, I mean, I've been very forthright how I feel about this election. The guy I voted for got 3.8% of the vote, so there's that.
It was a solid 3.8.
It was. Yeah. It was the quality. Mm-hmm.
The quality
3.8.
Of the voters, yes.
They colored in the dots completely. They were good votes.
Well, they were all stoned, so they were like, dude, took the color. Look at these pens. So this morning I feel better-ish, but I'm still, I think we have, we're going to have a very long 4 years.
It was a grinding, that sensation from being around the protesters. Because here's what someone wrote on my Facebook page. Charlene, who's actually been on the show, Charlene Dame McMahon Seaman, says they need to start the draft again. Show these kids what life is really like. They are just spoiled brats that can't deal with life when they don't get their way. They are afraid of not getting any freebies now. Is that really what your sense is of people who are protesting?
That's part of it. Sure.
They're not getting freebies? What freebies?
Not freebies, no, but it just did seem like sore loser-ishness out there.
And what I have asked Charlene, because she says we needed to start the draft again, I said that's an interesting thought. Would you be interested in coming on the air to talk about your time in the service?
But here's the thing. What are people supposed to do? I mean, if they're frustrated and they want to protest, it's their right as Americans.
No one's saying it's not.
Absolutely.
Who said that?
Yeah, but that's the problem. They're protesting, but what do you want?
Yeah, what do you want?
I think but even if you, like, as someone who, I worked in gun violence prevention for years, and we used to go and we would have protests and try and raise awareness about the number of kids that were killed by gun violence. And the question is whether or not did it change a lot? You know, it raised awareness, but we had people there. We had families there. We had people been victimized. And
but there's also an end game, and there was an agenda.
Yeah,
gun control.
Well, you know what? Maybe someone doesn't have it. Maybe it morphs something out of something organic. But, like, here's the deal. I think a lot of these young people who are protesting, they have a different world than we had. Their access to education and their access to affordable education is far more limited than it was to us. All the kids in my family were able to get to the University of Illinois, and it was affordable at the time. It was affordable, and now it's not. Is affordable, and it's that much more difficult to get into, and they have a lot of people coming in from out of state and out of country going to the school there, and I think their kids were trying to figure it out, and they go out there and they're protesting, and they said they got involved. Now here's the thing, is I think when you get involved in the process and you vote and you're engaged and you feel like your voice wasn't heard, if you feel like it's a repudiation of your values, and that's fine, and the history of our country shows that, but I don't like. I think people are trying to make sense of this in the moment, in the next couple, in a couple of days. We'll see what happens over the next several months. But the way I'm looking at this is right now, it's like, okay, I was telling my wife, here's how I'm processing this. I'm trying to learn to figure out how I can make sure something like this doesn't happen again in America, or to make sure that I'm connected to the people. Who felt like they were disconnected
to understand
in the process.
Why it happened.
Yeah, I understand why it happened. And because Ann was saying to me last night, she said, why are you putting yourself through this? Why are you watching this? Why do you keep looking at the results? Why are you watching CNN? I'm like, because there are people who are angry and they're disagreeing, and I want to understand why. And I think it's important. And I think it's important for young people who are protesting for them to process and for them to voice
I think it's important
people.
To get it on the record
so
that history will show, for 3 or 4 days after that election, there were people riding.
And not only that, but I had a guest last night, Michael Silver, who texted me during the day because he is a young man who is very smart. He's actually a quantum physicist, and he also is an artist and a comic, and is gay, and was sad on Tuesday night and woke up inspired and feeling like he wanted to do something. So I invited him on the show, and his sense of an element of showing the demonstrations is to show the rest of the world we're not unified in this decision. And, ultimately we have to, as Americans, we have to figure out a way to talk to each other. That's what it's coming down to. Mm-hmm. But being annoyed in the way many people are with protesters.
I'm not annoyed. I think it's beautiful.
No, I'm talking about the comments that I'm getting on the Facebook Live thing. Like a lot of people are like, get a job. The assumptions.
Job, hippie.
The assumptions that people saying throw these kids in jail, that they want freebies. I don't know where that part comes from, assuming that people who are protesting want freebies.
Well, I think that's the mindset of the people that won, is that the people that lost are freeloading welfare sloths, I guess.
Right.
I don't think that's the lesson that we need to learn from this. I think the key, I think, is the biggest thing that happened in the last 40 years was when, I believe it was President Ronald Reagan, canceled the Fairness Doctrine. It used to be, in any type of broadcasting, television or radio, if you had a voice from the right on, you had to give equal time to a voice from the left. So that no matter what television show or radio show you were listening to, as an individual listener, you heard both sides of the story. Now, if you just want to hear a radical right version of the news, you listen to Fox News. If you want to hear a radical left version of the news, you listen to MSNBC. And if you're in that bubble, you don't hear the other side of the story. And right. because
and
there, I, there's no yes. Set of facts that we all agree on anymore.
And that's one of the things I'm trying to, I want to direct this show, the direction we want to go. And I called Senator Katowski out on my way down because not just being able to listen to each other, because this also felt a bit like, it felt like a cultural war too, from the urban to the rural to small towns to the coasts. I mean, it feels like a cultural war in America. More so than I think ever before is demonstrated. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
no, of course.
And so I want to find a way for this show because we reach so many different parts of the country.
I would say 38 states.
I would say 38 states and parts of Canada. Okay. And, you know, and the whole station is carried by live stream. And last night I think that it was great to have a conversation. And like I said last night, I'm going to make mistakes. We're going to annoy each other.
You made three at the beginning of the show.
I'm saying, I won't start the show over again like that. But I think if we keep showing up, if you're listening to us right now, it means that you want to have a conversation. You want to hear what's going on. You're interested. And we want to make sure we maintain that. So more after this on 720 WGN.
He himself was broken long before the sky.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We will be playing music from Leonard Cohen, who has passed away today at the age of 82. Joining me in studio is political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis. Hey, Scott.
Hey.
I see you making charts and things. We're going to talk about your flow charts of your suggestions for the cabinet, I'm sure, as well as the ones.
We should do that. You should open the phone lines and give prizes.
I think that sounds like a great idea. Well, we need prizes. We have some tickets to give away to Rewind Con.
Let's give prizes to the person that comes up with the most brilliant cabinet idea.
All the cabinet? Like, how many
I'm talking like sanding and finishing and what you want oak. What are we going to do?
Yeah. What kind of Amish hardware's a difficult
like
choice.
A high gloss or more of a matte?
Wayne, how do you hang out with him? I mean, at some point you
carefully.
Just go, yeah. At some point you just go. Wayne Baker Brooks also joins us in the studio. Mark DiCarlo, who is being featured at RewindCon. Yes, Wayne, do you have an event coming up this weekend?
I do November 17th at The Wire.
At The Wire, excellent.
Yeah, I'm special guesting with Classical Blast.
Mm-hmm.
They came out with a...
And what is Classical Blast?
Classical Blast is a band, a mesh of classical music with classic rock songs.
Oh, great.
So they put it together. But then they decided to do a Christmas album. So they had me come in and sing the only original song on the album called Pray For Me.
Oh.
Nice.
Can you do it for all of us? Can you pray for all of us?
Yes. I think it's the end of the world. The Cubs won. Trump is in office. The solar, it's just
solar
crazy.
Flare,
so,
yeah.
Pray for us.
Okay. Larry, well, that's on November 17th at The Wire.
Yep, at The Wire in Berwyn.
In Berwyn.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yep.
And Mark DiCarlo out at the Indian Lakes. Is it a resort?
Indian Lakes Hilton in Bloomingdale, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful resort with a big golf course, and it's a huge convention called Rewind Con all weekend long, Saturday and Sunday. There's a prom there tomorrow night from 6 to 9.
What?
And our friend Larissa, mm-hmm. whose birthday it is in about 7 minutes, will be going to that prom.
And she does a lot of voice work for a number of cartoons.
She does many.
Many.
They should have been here by now. I'm wondering if if Thomas and Ed and the girls got lost on the way. We were at Harry Carey's talking to people,
mm-hmm.
and Wayne and I left early, and then we came here. I don't know if they're going to make it here. But if they do, we can celebrate Larissa's birthday on
the air. I would love to celebrate her birthday.
She says she's celebrating her prom.
Well, prom for the Rewind Con.
Here's the thing.
Oh.
I probably shouldn't be telling you this, but Larissa, and she's a beautiful, talented, fantastic woman from Australia, but she never got a chance to go to prom.
Oh.
So today, the 11th of November,
she's going to prom.
Is her birthday, and there's a prom event at this Rewind Con, so we're all going to go dress up and go to the prom.
Can we get her a carnation?
I think we should bring her to the Child Serve Gala and just tell her at the prom.
Yes.
Maybe we could blindfold her and just take her there and say, hey, this is the prom. Get used to it.
Ta-da.
She's never been. She doesn't know what to expect.
No, right? Yeah. She's for kids.
You can take her to a gas station and say, this is the prom.
Sign a check for help kids lead better lives? Sure.
Yeah.
Get her a corsage. You're all set.
She can dance out. We'll get someone to dance with her.
They do the electric slide. I saw you guys last year.
We're not talking about you.
What? There she is. Look at how bundled up she is.
She's just like my Yeti.
It's 70 degrees outside in downtown Chicago, and my wife, Yenny from Cuba, is wearing her parka.
Oh, dear.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, why is that guy doing that? Who's that guy?
That's Wayne's friend.
Wayne, did your friend just gyrate in front of my studio? I don't understand what just happened.
We're
on the live stream. Can you tell them that there's security cameras on him? Just went around the world with that. Hi, Larissa. Happy birthday. Can you hear me? Happy birthday.
Not yet.
Four more minutes.
Yeah.
We are taking...
Wait for it.
Senator Gutowski, are there tickets available for the gala tomorrow?
They are.
Is it a gala or a gala?
See, I was going to ask that and I committed. See what
We're
I did?
Not going to judge.
Gala sounds...
gala.
A little pretentious,
Patty. Who's going to the gala?
It's a gala.
It's a gala. Is it a gala apple
it's
or
a gala.
Gala apple?
It's a gala.
Gala. I say gala.
Gala.
The gala.
Did you ever play Galaga? Did you ever play that?
Yes.
Yeah. I thought it was Galaga.
There you go. I gotta go. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We'll be playing music from Leonard Cohen all night. He has passed away at the age of 82. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio with Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, State Senator. Yeah, we can do applause. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
State Senator Dan Gutowski.
No, seriously, if you look at history, some of the best artifacts of what's happening in a culture at that moment are captured in political cartoons.
Oh, have you been to the Abraham Lincoln
Wait, we were just about to talk
Not
about
yet.
Me.
We'll get to you in a second, Dan. We're talking about
By
cartoons.
The way, it is the
what just
time.
Happened here?
You know what happened? Last time I started over here and I stopped at Mark, and this time I started at Scott, and I just stopped.
Scott
trying to balance it.
Yes.
Can you even draw, Dan?
Well,
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Senator Dan Gutowski, who is now the CEO of ChildServe, helping at-risk children lead happier and healthier lives. You can go to childserve.org for more information on how you can help, volunteer, donate, and also come to the gala that we are doing tomorrow night.
Mark prefers gala.
I know he does, like, but we
gala.
Don't pay attention.
You can come to the gala tomorrow night. It's
How about
the
your
Art
soiree?
Institute.
Can we agree?
A soiree. It's our Founders Day soiree. It's tomorrow night at the Art Institute.
Where's a soiree?
Yeah.
Thanks for the invite.
Sorry.
It's a thing.
Yeah, you can come.
You have a prom to go to.
I'm going to a prom. I can't go.
Yeah. Well, you can bring
a prom.
Can
I tell
you prom to the Art Institute?
Can I tell you how creepy it is to think of you at a prom?
I was just thinking, middle-aged man saying, I'm going to the prom.
He's a driver.
I got my data boutonniere.
I actually, the first prom I went to from Bennett Academy in Lyle, Illinois, I went with a girl that I was just friends with. It's a long story. She threw a fish on the floor at the end of the night.
What does that mean?
Is that a metaphor?
I think it was.
What just happened here?
We were going. We were
a bunch of us.
Going,
you threw a fish on the floor.
We go. She was cranky. She didn't want to eat. Then she got the fish. Then she threw it on the ground.
Oh,
it was bad. So prom holds no romantic illusions for me. But Larissa wants to go to the prom. So
my date didn't throw her fish on the floor.
Well, maybe she didn't love you.
No, we had steak.
Will there be steak at the soiree tomorrow, the Founders Day soiree?
There's going to be some nice food there.
How can people get information about purchasing tickets?
www.childserve.com.
What happened? Worst website name ever.
Sorry.
What is it again?
It's hashtag markdecarlo.com.
Well, what's the website again?
Childserve.org.
What happened to the E?
Our work isn't done yet, so there's no E.
All right.
They took the E away.
Oh, sure.
Took it away. Got to fight with silent email.
That'll make it easier for people to find you on the web. Yeah. Good move.
Childserve.org. Please come. This Patty's the MC tomorrow.
I am the MC.
We're going to
If you haven't seen Patty, are you actually doing some time tomorrow?
No, I'm mostly. I find that when you're trying to do a fundraiser, it's safer to stay away from too much, to try to do comedy. You know what I mean?
I think it would be, I don't know what I would have to I would not want to be doing comedy this week.
I did it yesterday.
Oof.
It was the roughest thing I've done.
What are you talking about?
Well, and it was a happy hour situation, too, where people had just gotten off work. So imagine that they had many had stayed up throughout the night to watch the returns, had gone to work, hadn't really talked to their friends, hadn't really decompressed, and now they're sitting trying to talk to each other, and some chick with a microphone is yapping about
being...
Where was
this at?
It was at the AT&T building, like that big
That's a funny building.
It's hysterical.
The name's
it's
funny. The name's funny.
It was very funny.
So you were, like, at a happy hour at...
Yeah.
Like
James Vickery asked
area?
Me, it was a bar. It was the bar like on their 27th floor. Really beautiful area.
Is that a hard crowd? Because happy hour just sounds like they don't pay attention.
Well, basically, I'm interrupting
happy
the conversation.
Happy hour the day after this election? That's like the worst crowd possible.
What did you leave?
I did my own material.
What was your opening line?
My opening, I can't remember. It was
man
I did
and
not,
a woman, down and out.
I spent so much time trying to figure out what that was going to be that I went through all of them in my head, and I can't remember what I opened with.
I haven't seen you do comedy in a few years, and the first time I saw you, you nailed it.
So just put that, just keep that in your memory bank.
I do keep it locked
whenever,
in.
Whenever you want to
see, she's so funny.
Right, it's just
I don't know what
time.
She leads with.
Just that one time.
No, I think you're very funny.
Thank you. I also, the thing about having this show is that people who listen are like, just go back to being funny. So when we talk about serious things. I have a three-hour show, and the point of this is to have a conversation. If we bring humor to it, that's kind of the icing, isn't it, really?
Sure.
You know, it's
but you have to
bonus.
Have the cake, too, Patty.
Oh, I'm so hungry now. That's Mark DiCarlo, who is appearing at RewindCon this weekend at the Indian Lakes Hilton.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you. And
in beautiful Bloomingdale, Illinois.
And the prom is tomorrow night. Are we Facebook Live? No? Well, just yeah, you can go. No, Yanni, you can talk. She's like miming over here. Yanni Alvarez, also a vocal artist. I have a voiceover.
That thing pointed towards your crotch right now is a microphone, baby. Tilt it up.
She thought it was you.
You know what?
Man.
Let me grab Yanni a chair. Let's take a quick break here. You know what, Yanni? You don't have to worry about Facebook Live. No, you don't have to. That's not here. Look at your microphone. Hi, are you? Have you warmed up? Have you warmed up since being outside? Hold on, your microphone doesn't work. You know what? Let's take a break and I'll fix it in a second.
Here, take this one. Take this.
I'm gonna break things. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Leonard Cohen, singer, songwriter, poet, musician, he has passed away at the age of 82. And we just received a text from the 224. Patty, I may have differences with your show. I tuned in tonight doing some late work. You're mentioning Leonard Cohen and music. He was such an amazing gentleman, musician, and voice of no other. Sometimes I play at work and people say, what the, oh, I don't know. I'm glad you didn't use the language because I would have read it. To hear him in interviews is fascinating. Most don't know the many short plays of Natural Born Killers, which made me discover him. Oh, the music in the Natural Born Killers, which made me discover him. But also he had many plays and movies. I'm guessing his song was played in many movies. To watch his shows is mesmerizing. The Future album is one of the world's best albums. 11 years ago. It was hard for, I don't think that's where the text ends, but I wanted to read that from a listener. I also have another text from a listener. We were talking about the election this week from the 815. All of the young kids that are protesting are first time voters and are not used to losing because growing up, they all got a ribbon or a trophy for whatever they participated in. And now they're upset they did not get nothing. Hold on a second. They are upset. They did not get nothing. I'm going to let that sit for a minute. Yes. Go ahead, Senator. What do you think about them not getting nothing?
I just think you had issues.
A point.
That they did not get nothing?
Well, no, the whole, everyone gets a participation. That's, you know what? I go to my,
Can I just say I'm of that group, and I never really got that many participation ribbons, FYI.
But I go to Little League games, and I see, like, kids go up and they hit a home run, the next kid goes up and strikes out, and the moms stand up and go, oh, good job, good job.
Perhaps if this person who texted us had gotten a ribbon, they would get something.
And maybe
not get
grammar,
nothing,
yeah.
And not get
I think it's great that everybody participates, but I think it's injurious to the kids equate hitting a home run with striking out. They're two different things. Within the context of the game, hey, you tried. Good try is better than good job.
Okay,
striking out is not a good job.
So in the context of the protesters and the election, then the protesters, because they did not get nothing, should be quiet.
No, I think they can. I think it's great that they're out and marching. I don't know what the you know what? The die is cast. The vote was counted.
No,
we have to support whatever happens and hope that it goes well.
But nobody's saying good job to them for protesting.
Well, maybe that they need a certificate, basically. Yeah. I think they need a trophy.
I mean, the point is, I think it's good for them to get out there. And
I agree.
But I this whole notion.
I have a beef with Little League, not the protesters.
I know. I don't know where this came from.
I heard that and it sparked it.
If you're swinging with two strikes and you're not watching it, the third strike, I'm going to say, you know what? Good job. Don't watch. Don't watch. Swing.
In no context is striking out.
No, it's never
good. Good job. No. Good try. Good yes. Try. Good
I
job.
I agree with
no.
you. That's a good point. You changed. You changed
right?
Me.
You know what I'm saying?
You changed me.
Okay.
Changed
that's all I'm saying.
A metanoia.
I get it. Kids are, you know, you want to encourage them. You want them to love baseball like those of us that love baseball love the game. But there's a difference between good job and good try.
Agreed. But I don't buy the notion that people are protesting just because people give them too many ribbons.
It's not about a prize. It's definitely not about a prize. Yeah. It's about the way of life that they're trying to lead.
Yeah,
I'm struggling with the idea that people can't be upset because this seemed like to many people it felt personal when it came to the language that was used over the last year, and mm-hmm. and we seem to be not able to cross that divide in this country when it comes to the way we heard this campaign and the way other people heard this campaign. Sure. But Rita is on the line. She wanted to join the conversation. Rita, what's your sense of everything?
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Rita.
I've been upset because of how the election turned out. I guess the thing that I find most striking is that I stayed up, I listened to President-elect Trump's acceptance speech, and I sat there and I said to myself, who is this guy? Where was he in the last year and a half when he was running? And the language and the positions that he took, and like, I can't reconcile the two of them. And I want our country to succeed, and we need to be united and support him. But the contrast is so jarring that I don't know what to think. I don't know what to do. I've never, ever felt this way about a presidential election.
Yeah.
Hey, Rita, this is Scott. I couldn't agree with you more. I was, I talked about grinding sadness. I was stunned. And watching this thing, I don't know where you guys watched it.
Yes.
The returns. I was actually at the Union League Club. Some friends of ours invited us there, and I had enough scotches where I was screaming at the TV enough where they asked me to leave because it was – I've never felt this way about – and I've worked on campaigns. Dan, obviously, being a politician, has done this, and I've been on the losing side and seeing these kids. It hurts. It hurts like hell when you lose an election. But losing something like this to this kind of person – yeah, I am deeply conflicted.
Okay, and so this is where some of the calls we've been getting, Rita, people have been saying, well, I was upset when Obama won and you didn't see us burning things down. I don't know how we can get this point across unless people really felt that the entire balance of American culture was at stake when President Obama. I guess they did because of the threat of not having guns was one of them. What were the other?
Well, I think
Obamacare, socialism, I guess they were concerned
let's,
about.
Let's keep in mind, within a couple of weeks of his being president, there are people on the other side said, we're going to do whatever we can to prevent him from getting anything.
A couple days. It was the day.
Yeah, Mitch
the
McConnell.
Day he was elected, Mitch McConnell went.
He said, we're going to do everything we can to make sure he's not reelected.
Yeah. Rita, how are you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling really down. I'm really saddened. And I hope that he does a good job. And I guess the part that really bothers me, too, it was the Washington gridlock. And I understand that President Obama, he had different bills, but the Senate wouldn't pass them. So it makes him look like a do-nothing president, and that's not true. They stymied him on so many occasions, and the worst thing they did was to block even having hearings for the Supreme Court vacancy. I couldn't believe they did that. I couldn't believe the constituents let them get away with it. That's not right.
So, Rita, what was the reason why you were supporting Hillary Clinton? This is Dan Katowski. What did you want to see her accomplish?
Well, it wasn't a big thing for me to for her to be the first female president. I was in favor of it, but that wasn't the most important thing. She just represented hope to me. And I saw with all the gridlock in Washington with the Republicans, and I know there are some moderate Republicans, that they seem to shut everything down and they don't care about the, you know, the little guy. And I heard a snippet off the news today, one of the evening newscasts, and apparently President Clinton thought and told Hillary's campaign, there's a problem in the Rust Belt, and you're not addressing it, and they ignored him. So. Yeah.
Well, you know what, Rita? Here's fact one. He's the president-elect.
That's right.
As Americans, we all want our country to do well, and we need to support him. Fact two is, did he win the presidency with an incredibly cynical and negative campaign?
Yes.
Absolutely. I don't think that's up for debate. Maybe, and here's the possible silver lining, maybe he just said whatever he thought he had to say to get enough votes, and now that he's in office, he's going to be the guy that you saw the other day, the guy who's going to rise to the challenge, the guy who, when he walked on stage on Tuesday night to make his acceptance speech, his face, to me, he looked terrified.
Yeah.
I think it was sinking in like, oh, my God, I won. And unless he is an extremely horrible person, I think that has got to make him be serious, and hopefully he will attack this job and in a positive way and get a positive outcome for the country. I'm a very cynical person, but I gotta believe that hopefully he realized, hey, I may have been screwing around before, but now I'm it, and I gotta pay attention, and I gotta do a great job for the country.
I think maybe, hopefully, he realized something when he went to the White House today and met with President Obama, and that he would say, this is the other thing that blew me away, when he said he would be meeting with him on other occasions and was going to seek his counsel. I'm like, what?
I agree.
He's saying all these things, and it's like, where were you during the campaign? That campaign, I hope I never live to see another presidential campaign that's so nasty and bitter. It was a turnoff. I hated watching the news at night. I didn't want to read the papers. I just couldn't. I couldn't deal with it. And then the night of the election, when I saw all the red states, I'm like, she is not going to make it.
You know what? But though maybe, and believe me, I haven't been a Trump supporter up to this point, but maybe that was his genius. As a television reality star, he understood that he had to say certain things to get those votes, and maybe now he's going to govern for everybody. I'll believe it when I see it. I'll be thrilled when I see it.
And Rita, I want to thank you so much for calling. It's always wonderful to hear from you.
Can I just say one more thing?
Of course.
Please. What I was also realizing was going back to the debates when he had multiple people, you know, on the Republican side, he baited each one of those people. So either they had to fight back and be as bombastic and outrageous as he was, or they were trying to keep their dignity. And that's how he got rid of each and every one of them.
One of the things that I've talked about, and I think Secretary Clinton felt compelled to address some of his flaws repeatedly. And there are some people who are able to accomplish that. And I think the more that she did that, some people can't pull that off. And I felt like at a time that she just needed to just confront him and then dismiss him and then just talk about the economy and what she wanted to accomplish.
Let's continue this conversation after the news, because I've got to take a break. And the phone lines are filling up, and we want you to join the conversation. 312-981-7200. And you can also text us. As you've learned, if you use bad grammar, I might call you on that. Because we want, you know, to sling something and accuse protesters of being immature or coddled, okay, but then that's not a conversation. That's an attack on those kids. So, you know, have the conversation. We can talk about what that means to you, what's important to you, but slinging accusations and insults is a little bit different. More after this on 720 WGN.
From your lips, you drew the hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. This is Jeff Buckley singing Leonard Cohen's song, Alleluia. Leonard Cohen has passed away at the age of 82. We'll be playing his music throughout the show. We also have in studio with us State Senator Dan Katowski, whose gala tomorrow. Gala. I can't say gala. I don't know. I got to an argument.
I never judged. It
gala.
Was, it was this guy over
your
here.
Your gala at the Art Institute.
It was the L.A. guy.
I will be emceeing the event. We're raising money to help at-risk children live happier, healthier.
I said soiree.
Soiree. At the Art Institute.
You did yell to
me. I mean, let's be honest.
Mark DiCarlo, who is appearing at Rewind Con at the Indian Lake Hilton. They have a prom tomorrow night.
The Re-Lake? Did you say Re-Lake?
Indian Lake Hilton for Rewind Con.
The Re-Lake Convention.
Or the Ricky Lake Convention.
No. Would you like, Craig, we need to go all the way back to the beginning of the show.
Oh,
you
start it over again.
Wayne Baker Brooks, also in studio with us. He is performing on November 17th at The Wire with Classic Blast.
Yep.
And wonderful music. It is a combination of classical music with rock music.
Rock music, yep.
And he'll be performing Pray For Me, the only original song in the collection.
Yeah, the Christmas album that they're doing. I'm also opening up for Buddy during his Buddy shows in January.
No
so
way.
You can get.
And who is this Buddy?
Buddy Guy. January 17th. So get your tickets right now. Because
they're already sold out.
Are they really?
Buddy sells out January.
Also
every
joining us
year.
In the studio is Yenny Alvarez, is a voiceover artist, and her family came here from Cuba when
that's
she
right.
was very young, and has been sort of absorbing everything that's happened this week, I think, in a very personal way. And we want to talk about that. In addition to our listeners, Scott Stantis, who is the cartoonist for Chicago Tribune, who will be posting a video of the very right of the
yeah
all the.
The cartoons
versions
that didn't
that you had,
run.
The cartoons that did not run. We also were talking earlier about the protesters who have been very peacefully marching in the streets of Chicago. One of the texts we got from the 815 that these are kids who are first-time voters, not used to losing because growing up they always got a ribbon or a trophy for whatever they participated in, and now they are upset that they did not get nothing. So just dismissing the protesters as not having a point. Lance wanted to join in the conversation and talk a little bit about his thoughts on the protesters. Hi, Lance. Thank you so much for holding on so long.
How you doing?
I'm very well.
I didn't have an horse in this race, so I can be sort of objective. As far as these protesters are concerned, you know, I think it's a little hypocritical to even though I don't agree with them, I think it's hypocritical to criticize because when the president now, Obama, took the office, wasn't that the rise of the Tea Party protest?
Absolutely.
See,
that was a big movement.
They protested. You got congressmen who are now Tea Party congressmen. They represent that group of people now. So that was a pretty big protest that took office. See, the problem with the Democrats is they put their hands out to shake the hands of the Republicans, and the Republicans slap them. And they do it over and over again because the Republicans are a bunch of hypocrites and the Democrats are a bunch of idiots because they don't seem to have a memory to bring these things to their attention about the hypocrisy that these people display.
Lance, I totally agree with you, but here's the problem. We fall for it. The population and the voters fall for it. If we want to make these guys better, we all have to be smarter. We can't fall for that kind of crap. You understand?
But see, that's why I don't get involved in this political nonsense.
Well, then you know what? Then you can't complain. Did you vote?
I don't complain. I really don't complain.
Did you vote?
No, I don't. No, I didn't. And the reason why I
you blew it, man. I'm sorry. If you didn't vote, you blew it.
No, let me.
Lance, Lance, tell us why you didn't vote. Go ahead.
Let me finish my point. I don't vote for religious reasons. But now, I don't complain. I don't complain about anything because I understand what's going on. But my point is this here. I watch what goes on. And you know, you have these two candidates here who are running against each other, and this whole situation was just nasty to the point of how could anybody – say they want to get involved in this nonsense. Now, people want to get on me for not voting, and I understand that. But see, I'm what you call a true Christian. I follow Bible principles. And if the people read the Bible tells you about not getting involved in this nonsense because how divisive it is.
That's not in my Bible. And Lance, you know what? If for no other reason to honor the commitment of the men and women that are fighting and risking their lives every day around the world fighting for this country, the least you can do is vote on Election Day. And you know what, man? If you don't vote, you can't complain. End of story. It's not my show, but in my opinion, you don't vote, you've lost your voice, and I don't care what you think.
I've never, Lance. I'll be very.
I am not complaining.
Lance,
I'm not complaining. You are complaining. I'm just voicing an outside opinion.
But Lance, I'm sorry. Let me.
Why be outside, man? Come inside.
I have to. I've never heard of this before.
Let me say this here. Because everyone says they are Christian. Everyone says I'm a Christian, and I follow Bible principle, and I listen to God. Then as soon as God say do something. They don't do it. Now, you just said something is not in your Bible, which it is in your Bible. The Bible, what do the Bible say about God's people? He said, you will know my people by the love they have amongst themselves. Now, how could you have love amongst yourselves when you have one set of Christians over here who are Republicans, another set of Christians over here who are Democrats, who are feuding with each other? You have Christians over in other countries where our men and women going to fight these Christians in other countries and are killing other Christians. So how could you say that you have love amongst yourself when you're fighting against each other? You must have unity amongst your people.
Lance, I'm sorry. I'm still living in the area of religious objection to voting, and I'm doing some research on it as we're talking.
I guess the point takeaway, whether...
I'm not complaining about
that. Lance, please, the senator was actually going to respond.
It was your choice not to vote. So, and we have to respect that choice because it's, I mean, voting.
But then you know what? I don't want to hear what he has to say.
Mark.
Voting is, by not voting, you are making a statement and you're basically communicating that you didn't feel like any of the candidates were worthy of your vote. And so you got to respect that. But the point that he made was about, how Democrats interact with Republicans, and I think it's
and shaking the reaching their hand out, and the Republicans slapped it away.
I think, but you know what? I got to tell you something. President Obama made a really good point the other day, and he said, when I came into office, George Bush did whatever they could to make sure there's a peaceful transition. He said, I'm going to do the same with Donald Trump, and I think that's important. But what I think is important that he brought up is that you need to realize that if you're running for office, regardless of Republican or Democrat, you are in a dogfight, and you have to figure out the best way to articulate the values that that you represent, and that represent the people that you would like to serve, and it's a challenge. And to his point, and I still think about this. There's Hillary Clinton is only down by 11,000 votes in Michigan. I don't know if people know that. There's still 5% of the vote hasn't been counted.
So, Lance, thank you so much for calling. Yeah. Frank wanted to talk about voter turnout. Hey, Frank, how are you doing?
Yeah. I'm good. Good morning, everybody. Let's talk. Lance and the previous caller, Rita, they're well-spoken, and they talk with a lot of emotion in their statements. But the facts are that Hillary lost several states by 100,000 votes or less. And it's a fact that 13 million people didn't vote this time around. Now, whether the reason was that some people didn't like either candidate and didn't want to vote for either one, or for whatever reason they didn't like the way the direction of this election was going and they elected not to vote, Hillary said in her television advertisements, please get out there and vote. And she lost a lot of states by a very small margin. Some people might say that I didn't vote for Trump, but I was not going to vote for her.
Yeah, and two things, great comment, because two things is that the goal of the Trump campaign, as they've indicated publicly, was to suppress enthusiasm for Hillary Clinton and to go as negative as possible so people wouldn't be as excited.
Yes.
And the second thing that you read about is that there's this new way of campaigning where people feel like the best way to get people to come out and voting is this micro-targeting, is taking big data and saying that we're going to apply this marketing approach to getting people to come out and vote. When the good old-fashioned way of getting people to go out and vote is knocking on their door, finding out what they care about, and seeing if they're going to support your candidate. And I think one of the problems that they found in these other states is that they didn't do the boots on the ground outreach that they should have been doing.
Well, I thought they had.
They just did an analysis of this, and they did a great article in looking at it. And they have a lot of these people who are these professionalized experts in big data trying to get people to come out and vote and target these people, but not really knowing whether or not they were Hillary supporters or not, assuming that they were going to be Hillary supporters just based on the fact that they may have voted Democratic in the past, and not truly knowing that there were people who supported her candidacy.
They were too smart for the room.
Exactly, and that's a challenge. And like grassroots.
Okay, do you remember the celebration the Cubs had last week at Grand Park?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Somebody had said, there must be 5 million people in attendance here, which that number was inflated. And prior to the election, the polls were saying that Hillary has a 55% chance of winning compared to Donald Trump's 45%. I don't know where they collected data from, because they weren't going like old school, knocking door to door or stopping people on the street. All these numbers, all this data, all this information that gathers, it's so manipulated that in current day, it's up to the everyday citizen to make a determination on what is right. Because you can't listen to numbers manufactured by, you don't know who's broadcasting these numbers. Hillary had a strong advantage going into it, where some people might say, well, she's going to win anyway, and I don't have to vote. But, I mean, 13 million people, that's a lot of people that are not getting involved in comparison to when Obama ran against Mitt Romney last election.
Yeah, just to make Frank's
point,
just to make Frank's point as clear as possible, it's more than 13 million people that didn't vote. About 110 million people that were eligible to vote didn't vote in this election, but 13 million less
than last time.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the problem. There are 110 million Americans who couldn't be bothered to vote to choose which direction our country is going to go in, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about the minutia of what it takes to motivate someone to go out and vote for candidate A or candidate B. I think that's the wrong conversation. The conversation is, if you're an American and you care about this democracy, you get your ass to the voting booth. And you vote for someone.
I have to get my ass to the spots. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We want to do one last thing before we say goodbye to Yenny Alvarez. Hi, Yenny. I didn't get a chance to talk to you about your experiences and how you felt this week. How are you doing?
I'm disappointed. I'm heartbroken. But I hate the saying, it is what it is. He was elected, and we have to take a deep breath and see what he's going to do. And the bad thing, I don't hate the man. I hate what his campaign and everybody else's campaign has done to this country and to our people, our loved ones, our family, our friends.
This has been very divisive. Yeah.
It's negative. People are coming out and saying horrible things at hours after he got elected. And I don't think that's okay. It's not okay. It's not. It doesn't make it okay just because the person is president now. It doesn't make it okay for you to do what he has done and he has made acceptable in the past.
We have a lot of work to do, and I know that you have some rest to do tonight. You guys have you've got a long weekend ahead of you. Mark DiCarlo is appearing at Rewind Con at Indian Lakes Hilton.
Nice, Patty.
You're welcome, sir. And tomorrow
night's
the prom,
Saturday,
where you'll be celebrating Larissa's birthday.
What,
Larissa? I should have gotten her a cake.
It's radio. We have a cake right here.
Ta-da.
Yeah.
Six-layer
chocolate.
I think I would say we could all sing to her, but I kind of just feel like making Wayne Baker Brooks.
Yes. Oh, how about a professional? Come on.
We're doing like Stevie Wonder, though. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday.
Have a wonderful, also a voiceover actress who you recognize from a lot of. I don't know the long list, but she's
Monster High.
Monster High.
Yay.
Will you come back and do the show before? Are you guys downtown tomorrow night or no?
Probably.
Yes.
Come play tomorrow night. It's more politics tomorrow night, probably.
It's a Bon Jovi cover band.
It's a prom that ends at 9 o'clock, though, sadly.
I never went to my prom.
Well, you can go tomorrow night. Get her a corsage. A big one, like a big garish one.
A huge one.
Huge one.
The best corsage ever.
Ever. Thank you so much. Have fun, you guys. Be safe. And we're still taking our calls. I want to make sure we get to Lauren, because Lauren's been holding on for over 20 minutes. Hi, Lauren. How are you doing?
Thank you.
Hi.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Of course.
Very quickly, I just really want to implore people to, you know, educate themselves. I mean, instead of being emotional, what I can really say, I lived for 20 years in Europe. Okay. And what I can see is we may have to go through some pain in order to learn the two-party system that we have here really hides an enormous amount of connection. I won't say, you know, conspiracy or collusion. This was a fair election, but there is an enormous amount of connection between the two parties that shows our present system is outdated. We need to eliminate the Electoral College, and we need to allow more room for other political voices other than these two parties, and it can work on a local level. Okay, and I can give you direct evidence for this from my 20 years of living in Europe, because number one, you get, like more access to elites over there. Like two of my Twitter followers when I was in Europe was like the Prime Minister of Italy and 10 Downing Street. And I was just like a normal guy off the street. And, you know, they were my Twitter followers. Okay. Plus I met a lot of American operatives, political operatives when I was in Europe. Okay. And so I actually learned a lot about the American political system. For instance, I belonged to a group while I was over there called Democrats Abroad, which was a organization that was sponsored by the DNC, by the Democratic National Committee. They actually have 20 delegates that they send to the convention, you know, voters who live overseas. Okay. I was living in Italy. One of our assignments from the DNC was to find some Republicans in Italy so we could form a Republicans Abroad. Okay, So this is the kind of work that you could say goes on more in the open. And you talk about the protesters on the street. Well, in Europe, the connection goes all the way from the prime minister's office to the street. And, you know, everybody knows that there's more power sharing. So people, please educate yourself. Donald Trump is going to be president for 4 years, but believe me, it wouldn't have been a lot different if Hillary had been president. Trump.
In the sense that you think that it would have more deeply entrenched the way things were headed and this shakes things up?
Well, in the sense that, thing of it is, as I say, I don't talk about conspiracies because, you know, the thing of it is, that is nonsense. You know, one of the things the elites over there will tell you clearly, you know, you cannot control the behavior of 3 billion people on planet Earth. You know what I mean? Even what went on, I mean, whatever I predicted for this election, I mean, I got it so wrong that, you know, even what's going went on in this election, there's like thousands of variables. So it's ridiculous to talk about conspiracies, right? What you have instead is what you could call a kind of a commonality of interest. I mean, Hillary and Rupert Murdoch are buddies.
Lauren, you've given us a lot to talk about. Do you want to hang out? I've got to do news and commercials, and I know everyone's holding on. I've got gifts for everybody, I promise, for all the long time we've been hanging on. But hold on 1 second. We've got to take a break, and more after this on 720 WGN.
And dance me to the end of love.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We were talking to Lauren about the political system in the United States, and you had a lot of thoughts. And then Senator Katowski wanted to answer you, and then he left.
Okay.
He left.
He just walked out.
What was that, Lauren?
Okay. Hello?
Yes.
You with me?
I am.
Okay, I'm going to accentuate the positive instead of moaning. Okay. People, you don't have to just go vote. One of the things we can do is subvert this ridiculous kind of thing we have in Illinois about the ridiculous number of, you could say, governmental agencies we have and the ridiculous amount of money they spend. You know, run for your local school council. You know, find out if you got a lawyer in your family or church who maybe wants to be like a judge. You know what I mean?
Oh my God,
Lauren. Encourage people in your community to participate.
Have you run for office, Lauren?
No, I haven't run for office, but I was going to tell a story about, like, you know, little simple things you can do, like go to, like, I went to a park district hearing. Do you know the ridiculous gobs of money that the park district spends, mm-hmm. you know? And so no one's in there, you know? And so you go there, and there are these guys sitting there trying to get through the thing. I mentioned something about just a local park, but next time I go in there, I'm going to ask them, hey, what's happening with the pension money? You know,
well, you don't have to go to the park. You can call your state representative. Who's your state representative and your state senator?
Why should we wait? I'm saying you can go there yourself to the park.
Yes, you can go yourself to your Lauren. You can go yourself to your representative's office. They're the ones that are doling out that money you're talking about for the park district. You can find out what they're doing and how they're.
No. The park district is The park district is a taxing district. They get their own money directly out of your pocket from property taxes. Do your civics homework.
No, Lauren. A lot of money with the parks throughout the state of Illinois. A lot of that does come from the state legislature. There may be different funds where the money that is raised locally goes directly to the park district, but there are different sources of income for the park district. And if you call me my dear one more time, we're going to have words. Lauren, thank you so much for calling. Craig's got an Apple Electronics gift card for you, my darling, and he will send that off to you, even though I bristle a little bit at being called my dear. We also have on the line with us, Gary has been on hold. Hey, Gary, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you, Patty?
I'm okay.
First of all, I was really fired up earlier, but after listening, I calmed down.
Oh, see, and that's thank you for telling me that, because I know that, look, there's going to be a tone sometimes. We're working through a lot of emotions and feelings, so I think part of it is listening. What did you want to tell us, Gary?
Well, I wanted to say that, first of all, I wanted to thank WGN, Steve, Bill and Wendy, Roe, but most of all, I want to thank you, because I always, in the evening, I always listen to you. And you've taken my calls before. You know, I'm a Vietnam veteran. This is Gary from Milwaukee. And, you know, I was really against Trump. And it's going to be very difficult for me to forgive the hateful speak he used to get elected.
And that's been what's, I think, the hardest thing this week to explain to people, whether it's social media or right here or texting, is that the hateful language that was used and sort of being brushed off as like, well, that's not really who he is. Then why did we live in this space for a year of, you know, all of it?
Right. And that, Gary, I'm right there with you. I'm like, okay, so today he played sort of nice, although when he was sitting with President Obama in the Oval Office, but it also reminded me that the man has a vocabulary of an eighth grader, and that's going to come back, and it's going to be, you know, all these people who are trying to be optimistic, trying to spin this as if this is normal. Someone had a great tweet this afternoon. I wish I can't remember who said it, because I would attribute it to them, but it says nothing about this is normal. Nothing about this guy is normal, and nothing, we shouldn't accept this as normal. And I think holding his feet to the fire, this is where the protesters, I think, make an excellent point. Last night and tonight, is that this guy won for the very reasons you two are mentioning, that it was ugly, horrible, terrible campaigning that was divisive as hell. And am I going to forgive him for that now that he's president? I am not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to watch him closer than I would if he had been, let's say, rational, mature, grown up, or polite.
Right.
I'm sorry to throw water on everyone's, like, well, we're going to try to be optimistic about this and hope. We had guests on earlier. I didn't jump in then. I should have.
Well, and Gary, do you feel like that the only choice we have is to hope he isn't as bad as the things he said during the campaign? That's the only thing we can do, really.
Well, I don't think that I'm not going to accept any. I think he's a fool. I think if he says anything like, you know, I want to get along, he's never apologized for anything. And, when he goes to Arlington Cemetery and on camera apologizes for saying that he likes people who aren't captured more than people who are, you know, I mean, POWs, then I might, you know, if he apologizes to the Muslim family who lost their son in the war, and other Muslim families who have lost their sons in the war, and people of other different religions than his,
he brought all this into the argument. I didn't bring it into the argument.
Exactly.
The Democrats didn't bring it into the argument. He brought it into the and he brought it up. He's the one who brought it up. And everybody who backs him in the Republican Party, they're partly responsible also, in my mind.
Right. Well, look at the people who backed him. He got the B, C, and D listers of the Republican Party, and now they're leaking that, you know, don't forget Chris Christie, if you can get over his bridge, has been in charge of his transition team, and so they've been working on cabinet positions. I mean, look at this list. I just drew this off of the top of my head. Newt Gingrich, Chris Christie, Sarah Palin, and Rudy Giuliani will be in this cabinet.
Right.
Think about that for a moment. I mean, this isn't the best and brightest, folks.
Sarah Palin couldn't even be his cake decorator in the kitchen of the White House. She's not even qualified for that.
Well, she was a governor of a state. You do have to have...
She has some executive experience.
Yeah. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, she's a nut. But I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, and I'm trying to be nice. But because you guys, you say it better than I do. I always get frustrated sometimes.
It's an emotional week, and yeah, I mean, I'm trying to be pleasant as well, and so many different places. And also, it's exhausting. I think we're also experiencing whether it's the end of election fatigue, staying up all night, and emotional, really flashes that I think for some people were strange. We did not expect this turnout. We did not expect this result, and that's something we're still dealing with. Hey, Gary, we're going to send you an Apple Electronics gift card, all right? Hold on the line. Craig's going to get awesome. Your information, and we're taking a break here. Thank you so much for calling. Always great, Gary. To hear from you, Gary. More after this on 720 WGN.
That night that you planned to go clear.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is the political cartoonist of the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis. I think one of the biggest fears that people had the looming possibility of a President Trump was giving permission to people to say hateful things in the same way, sort of like it took the lid off. And this is happening all over the country.
And now this is going to be a thing, by the way. We've talked about this on the show before. My biggest fear, one of my biggest fears about this guy's election is exactly what you're mentioning.
Right.
And that's going to be a template for other candidates, because the one thing that succeeds in politics. Yeah, I saw that.
There are people doing graffiti and leaving notes for people. There's a swastika on the side of a building that says, "Make America White Again."
Yeah, well, there's those guys, too. Mm-hmm. The tone, the tenor, the language, nothing succeeds in politics. Nothing matters. Nothing else matters in politics but one simple thing, winning.
Right.
And he won. And they're going to look at this, and this is going to be a template for candidates going forward. And if you think this is going to be a singular only event, can you imagine what it's going to be like in 2 years?
Here's more graffiti. Black lives don't matter, and neither does your vote. Trump is our president now. Get out of our neighborhood, faggots. These are notes that are being left for people. So, Father Homo, how does it feel to have Trump as your president? They'll put marriage back where God wants it and take yours away.
Nice.
So these are the things. I mean, this is what I think it felt like.
It emboldens these people, and that's what scares me to death, because this is how it begins. This is how the slide to fascism begins, and we talked about this 4 months.
Well, and I think having social media and bearing witness to this is important, which is why I went down to show what the protests look like in Chicago. Brian, you wanted to join the conversation. Thank you so much for holding on for such a long time. How are you doing?
Good morning. It's so nice to talk to you, Patty.
Thank you.
First of all, I'd like to say I will never call you my dear until the day you give me permission to do so. And, but I would also like to say that how attractive it is when you know exactly where money is allocated to and from. So kudos for that.
Yeah, the state of Illinois has grants. They provide grants for parks all over the state. And I know that because I was sitting in the gallery of the Illinois State Legislature as they were deciding whether or not to restore funding. So I telling me to do my homework, is a strange moment. Yes, go ahead, Brian.
Well, in my own simple terms, then, you rock. That's all I mean about that. So I will say that, and I will let you know that I am a transplant very recently to Illinois from the state of Wisconsin.
Oh.
So I have some insight into this.
What neighborhood are you in, Brian?
I am actually in Palatine, which is a very small corner in Lake County, not Cook County.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to jump through a fair amount of hoops to make that vote happen.
Wow.
And also kudos to your call screener who did this for me.
He said, yes, I agree. It's not so much that Donald Trump was voted in as Hillary Rodham Clinton was voted out.
Right.
And I think that that's people forget about that. People are sick to death of the political machinery that's been going on in this country, the insiders. And I have to highly disagree with one of your earlier callers who said that Donald Trump was this politically correct man. I mean, oh, my goodness. Are you serious? This man did literally everything wrong except for one thing that I can think of. He said what he wanted to say, whether anybody liked it or not. He has not been the poster child of what you want as a political candidate. He did do one thing from my state that made sense. If you remember early on in the political arena, there were 16 Republican candidates, and Scott Walker happened to be one of them. He made sure that he laid his hands off of Scott Walker when he was bashing all of these other people because he needed to carry the state of Wisconsin. As you know, it's been a Democrat Democrat state for many years.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't carry Wisconsin. My point of that is, and now Paul Ryan saying something that was actually very apropos, Paul Ryan being the Speaker of the House, also from Wisconsin, all of a sudden he said, yes, Donald Trump turned politics on its head. He literally did, whether anybody likes it or not.
Yes.
And Paul Ryan, another pundit pointed something out. He went and managed to win over the Republicans, win over the Democrats, and win over the media. I'm sorry, the media simply was not pro-Donald Trump. That's how I see it. I may very well have some people disagreeing with me on that, but that's pretty much of an amazing thing. To be perfectly honest, I think he was not the greatest candidate I've seen. I'm 52 years old. I've seen all of these things before. And he won with all of those things against him because it's been so pathetic in Washington, D.C., that Hillary Rodham Clinton was told, no, you're out. We're sick to death of what's going on here. I listened to you, and again, kudos to you.
Wow, that's a great, great take on this election, Brian. That really is. Yeah, I hadn't even thought of it that way, but you're right. Yeah, he didn't win. She lost it, and she was fired.
Well, and this was the same thing. I think a lot of people talked about when Al Gore ran. He also lost. He was riding on the tails of a presidency that had skyrocketing approval ratings. And so I don't know how you can have, he wasn't the guy. Neither one of these candidates, Al Gore and Hillary Clinton, were inspiring people. And I think that they've smacked of the sort of, as you talked, the institution of being the old guard, and people wanted something else.
And an old guard that was ensconced with, and we both know, I mean, earlier, Lauren, who,
had
his moment. But,
Lauren got a lot of airtime. I gave him before and after the news, and then he wanted to tell me to do my homework. We're not going to play.
Lauren brought the point about the collusion of the parties, and people sense that too. And that they're both in the pocket, and they are of crony capitalism. I can go off on a tangent, and I won't. But I'm telling you that people were fed up, and the conduit was Donald Trump, which is horrible. But that's how this worked out.
Brian, thank you so much for holding on so long. And Craig's got we are sending out a Apt Electronics gift card. Everyone can go to aptelectronics.com for more information. Have a great night, Brian. Thank you.
Honored to have spoken with both of you. Honored
to speak with you. We look forward to hearing from you again. I know Mary Kay has been on hold for a while as well. She has a story to share with us. Hi, Mary. How are you doing?
I'm peachy. Thank you. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
I'm enjoying very much the Discord, conversation on WGN. I enjoy when I'm driving many hours in the night
doing
the traveling work that I do. And so there was just something that came up that I was like, I just really wanted to share because we were discussing whether or not the right to vote is important and choosing to vote and about the choice of if you vote or not is whether or not you get to complain.
Right.
And I had a situation happen at my job, as we all travel very much for a living in the job I do. And I had a team of four of us. Two of us were American. Well, we were all American citizens, but two of them were from Nigeria who had chosen to come here and had taken their civic duty very seriously. They came in and asked, do your civic duty because we're out of town. Have you voted yet? And I said, well, I'm home this week. I'm actually in my hometown, so I get to vote today. And the other one said, oh, yeah, I was going to ask where I can vote. And I'm like, in your home precinct, you can't just vote anywhere. She's like, oh, no, I haven't voted yet. Well, she lived 2 hours away. It was her home precinct, and we had a break at our event. And we made it happen that she could go and drive the 2 hours back home to her home precinct, vote, and come all the way back.
Wow. That is very cool.
That's awesome. No, you know, so what?
I mean, it just made it really, you know, sometimes you have to remember we have a right as citizens and we have a responsibility as citizens, and we take it so lightly because it's been able to vote for so long that we take it too lightly to. You need to vote. You need to weigh in.
Absolutely. My parents used to take me to go vote when I was a kid.
I took Griffin this year.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful thing to do. Both my parents were children of immigrants. I'm a son of the son mm-hmm. of immigrants. Patty's a daughter of an immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
Voting mm-hmm. is like a religious experience and a religious moment for families like that that came. Both of my grandmothers happened to live in occupied France during World War I, which was, I understand, an unpleasant experience. And so, like, the democracy, the idea of having the right to walk into that booth, and how would you not do that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I agree.
Right. And so it was just really, really powerful. I still bring myself to tears to think about it, you know, how these two people, you know, took it so seriously that it moved that person to do that 2 hours, you know, 4 hours of driving in the middle of a 12-hour day.
It is a wonderful story. And it is that important.
And just remind you, because I was like, oh, you know, I got other stuff to do. I'm at home. I could do some stuff. And I was 5 minutes away. And I knew I would vote because my other half wasn't going to have any other way. But, you know, you're never too busy.
Can I ask you guys a quick question? And this is a crazy question, but it's on point. Would you simplify voting? Would you make, should you make it so you can vote online?
I think it's too hackable.
No. I think that I would make it a national holiday like it does in other countries.
Or do it on – the reason it's on a Tuesday is because farmers and, you know, your weekend, you didn't have to go into the market. You didn't, on Sunday you were going to church. So Tuesday just made sense
and
back then.
Can you imagine, by the way, Craig was saying earlier 110 million people didn't vote. And we saw how the lines were on Election Day and then and the days leading up mm-hmm. to it. Can you imagine if 110 more people had shown up? I mean, were people driven away and discouraged by the long lines as well?
Let me throw out another thing. In Australia, you had some guests earlier here from Australia. You actually have to vote. You get fined if you don't.
I like that.
And it's a graduated fine if you don't vote, like in a city election, and it's, you know,
$5. That'll never happen here.
I know, and it seems, I know, I can't believe
I'm saying it. Money driven. I mean, we're economically driven in the first place that we don't have it a national holiday.
So so Australia has roughly a 98% turnout every election somewhere in that neighborhood uh-huh. because people don't want to pay the fine. You know, I think you have almost, we're getting to the point where you have to start thinking about that. So,
right.
You know, there's a part of me that the libertarian conservative side of me is going, yeah, what are you saying? And then there's a part of me that says we need to get people to vote.
Well, thank you so much for holding on so long, Mary Kay. And I know we're sending out, we've got a certificate for a desktop sports theme artificial Christmas tree of your choice with white micro lights with Tree Time Christmas Creations on Pepper Road
in
Lake Barrington.
Can you like a Cubs tree?
Yeah, I bet you could.
Oh, my God.
Thank you so much, Mary. Have a great evening. Best night ever. Have a great one.
Yeah.
More after this on 720, of course. after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I need to get to Dan because he has been on hold the longest. Hi, Dan. How are you doing?
Hey, Patty. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm, you know, it's a lot of, and I know for people who are listening who are maybe burned out by this, but this is the news story of the week, and the phone lines keep filling up, and I want to make sure that everyone is heard. That's why we're here, and I wanted to know what your thoughts were.
You know, I'm a millennial, and I'm disappointed by the election. And I think about the way it's gone, and I couldn't agree. I mean, it was disheartening to see the election go the way it did. And I understand where the protesters come from. And, you know, you tell those, like, they're obviously, you know, my age, younger, you like, sometimes this is politics. Sometimes it goes the way you want, and sometimes you don't. You try to channel that energy and that enthusiasm and maybe raise awareness to your movement and try to help that out. But I think the big thing about Donald Trump, you know, everyone's like, I want change. I voted for him because he was changed. And I said, not all. I'm not going to paint with the broad brush. not all Donald Trump supporters are these, you know, racists that we've come to see. But the truth is that that movement is there. And the reason I didn't support him was because there was an alt-right movement that never made it welcoming to join. And as long as it, like, you felt that movement as a Hispanic in particular, I was never going to join.
And did you feel like, did you, Dan, did you feel like Hillary was a good candidate? Was she somebody that represented the sort of future that you want?
You know, that's an interesting question. I've had to ask that question to myself like several times. I'm like, is Hillary the candidate I want? And no candidate will ever be 100% what you want, but she was closer to what I wanted a candidate to be than Donald was. And when I look at Hillary, I look at experience. I mean, it was great that she would have been the first female president. Mm-hmm. But the big thing about her is that I'm like, when do you ever go to a job, especially one as important as president of the United States of America, and say, I have zero experience in politics, mm-hmm. and say, you're the guy? I mean, I couldn't agree when someone said it wasn't so much about we want Donald Trump in, it's just, you know, Hillary was voted out. And I said, that actually does make sense. I'm like, because she had the better experience.
Well, Dan, I will say this, and I've been working my way through this over the last couple of days, too. And for me, and for a lot of people, the bigger picture is also, when people say they want to change, I'm not quite sure I buy that, because they then down ticket didn't change the legislature. If they want to change, then it should have been, well, this guy, Donald Trump, for the president, and somebody else. I want to throw out these people,
right,
who are in the legislature.
Right, there wasn't a massive incumbent, throw the bums,
right,
out, move.
Right, I mean, because that would be the change, because that's what's going on in D.C., was this legislature also is responsible for the deficit, for the budget, for a lot of the positions that we are in around the world. So if people want, really were committed, I want something different, then down ticket should have reflected that as well.
I agree. And so, I did the big thing about it is that I worry that the people were so focused on who was going to be president that, you're right, they should have done their homework maybe more on,
so, yes,
on ballots.
So Dan, this is a task for everyone, and this is the work I've been talking about. Keep showing up, because I know there are people who are, they feel now. All the people who voted for Trump who are saying that they felt left out and left behind and ignored. So this now, the people who have not won this candidate, their candidate did not win, have to respond in the same way and equal force. You know, you have to hold your legislators accountable. Find out what they're voting on. People should not be surprised in 4 years. And I mean this for both of us, both sides of the aisle. I don't think that most Republicans wanted Donald Trump to be their candidate. And I think a lot of Democrats did not want Hillary Clinton to be their candidate. We cannot be in the situation again where we're choosing between two people that are the most hated candidates in the history of the elections in the United States. So we need to make sure we're finding the leaders who inspires us, who's doing the work. Find them, whether it's the governors or if it's, you know, your legislators, if they're, I don't know, where else do we find, I mean, business people, I guess, is where we are looking.
No. You go to leaders. I mean, Dan, you bring up a point of no experience. We've never had this before, by the way, in a historic, just to give some historic framework here. Yes, we've elected men to the presidency who had not had political experience before, but they had run big armies.
Well, Eisenhower, and General Grant. Those are the two that I remember the most who had no previous political experience, yeah. I believe, were military leaders, strategists.
Yeah.
Who had critical
thinking.
And
by the way, you have to be pretty political to run something that big.
Well, people would say that Donald Trump has to be pretty
strategic. No, you have to bully it in. You have to use money to wedge whatever project you're trying to push. This is not the job you want the guy to be learning on the job.
Yeah. Dan, yeah. How are you feeling going forward? Are you ready to gear up and start being locked in and what your legislators are doing? Do you know who your state rep is?
I do not. That's okay. How like misinformed I am myself. That's, and I have to
You are
do
not
that
alone.
Too.
You are not alone. And believe me, I talk about being, you know, involved in the state legislature in Springfield, but I've gotten to know my legislators because I, you know, there were things that were affecting me directly when it came to the education of my children and things that were going on in my neighborhood. And that's what it takes. Find out what's going on in your neighborhood. And we need to keep having a conversation. We need to see, you know, we need to bridge this gap between Chicago and the rest of Illinois. We need to bridge the gap between the big cities and the small towns. We need to bridge the gap between the manufacturing and the farmers. We need to bridge the gap between, you know, people who work in these high rises and are in smaller towns. We cannot forget each other. We cannot dismiss each other. We cannot laugh at each other. I think we need to come together, and that's the thing that we need to work on next.
I agree. And I think, like you said, I think if people are going to be this passionate in protest and you want the change, you said it best, get to know your representatives, get to know your legislators. And if that's not working, 2 years in midterm, mm-hmm. some of those people come up for election, and slowly that works its way towards change.
Yeah, change is not
say every 4 years.
Right, every 2 years there are elections, and you're right. It's the bigger ones, unfortunately, that people pay attention to and show up for. Keep showing up. Keep showing up, Dan. Okay, and we're gonna send I know this sounds silly. I know that you're disappointed, but I want you to keep showing up here too. You know, call us when things come up. When you find out about things in your community that you have questions about, call us. You know, we'll talk about it here. Call your legislators, but you can call us too. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Have a great night. Before I go to a break, let me take Mike because he's also been on the line for a while. Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You had some thoughts on why things resulted. Yes.
I have a lot of thoughts. I disagree with you on a whole bunch of what you just said. But just to give you some background, I'm 68 years old. I'm African-American. I've got a master's degree. And I went down to Tuscaloosa, Alabama in the middle 60s and helped register people and so on and so forth. Uh-huh. And for the first time in my life, I'm going to get a gun permit and start carrying.
Can I tell you something, Mike? I thought about that this week as well. I mean, I've talked about getting my FOID card.
You got the KKK on the rise. Mm-hmm. You got kids marching in school with Trump signs hollering, white power, white power. You got a school teacher who was fired for saying all the Mexican kids are going to go back to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
This is ridiculous.
I
didn't go through this crap in the 50s.
I think
now,
if
I'm 68 years old,
you've lived through this.
Bigots all over the place, and you got an idiot who was the lead bigot, and you're saying, well, he was hated and she was hated. Well, she's been hated because Republicans have been beating on her for 30 years
mm-hmm.
for crap. They accused her of murder. They accused her of everything else. Nothing has stuck, but they keep beating on her and beating on her and beating on her.
Yeah, the narrative has been very negative for a long time. For Hillary
and Trump. I blame the media for a bunch of this stuff. They said this on Newsroom 4 years ago. When does the media call a liar a liar? They don't do it. They put up with this crap. Chris Matthews is one. They can go on his show and say any damn thing they want to say, and he just sits there and shakes his head and goes, well, okay, whatever else. The only one that does it is Lawrence O'Donnell. And sometimes, what's her name, Kelly on Fox.
Well, I'm going to jump in here, Mike. And I'm Scott Stance with the Chicago Tribune and say that they have done it. This is why you know this information.
You don't.
Of course you do. And they have fact checkers during the debates.
They don't let them show the tape of him saying what he said he didn't say.
Let's roll the tape. Let's see what you said.
The Russian foreign minister said, yes, there has been contact between the Russian government and the Trump campaign. Where did I hear this on the news today? Why wasn't this a big story?
Well,
he lied and said there was no contact between the Russian government and his campaign, and the Russian foreign minister says there was plenty of contact.
Then let me ask you where you learned this information.
It was on MSNBC.
The media reported this.
It was
well, where else should he find it out? Where else should he find this information?
I'm saying that they're not repressing information. The job of a journalist is not to yell liar. It's just write the story that says.
It's my job.
What he said.
Comedian and broadcaster.
It's your job. It's my job, frankly. But
why
it's
do
not,
they have fact checkers if it's not their job?
They do. They say, listen, you said this, and you, and it's contrary to what you've said before. The information that you're saying is wrong or erroneous. That's their job. But their job is not to stand up and to be an advocate for one side or the other.
Can news? I think that the news, you know what, maybe Mike is onto something. Maybe there needs to be a portion of a news broadcast that is devoted to, here's what they said today, and it completely conflicts with what they said before. Here are the lies told. I mean, like, maybe they need to have a lying section of the news, the unfactual things that were said by our politicians today. Can we have that as a segment?
Let's do it on our segment.
Yeah.
To the point, I'm a 68-year-old black man who's getting a gun for the first time in his life because he's afraid of his white citizens.
It's interesting that you point out that comedians are kind of the people that do this, because The Daily Show is what I keep thinking of when you make comments like that. The Daily Show became very, very popular, and a lot of people took their political news from a comedic show because it did just that. It played someone's different opinions at the same time and showed us both videos and we got to compare. Yeah, exactly that. So there are outlets for this. They're just not.
How do we do it? I mean, Craig just fell.
I want to pull all the audio. Fine, figure it out.
We need a team of researchers. There has to be
somebody
source.
Said something that there should be like five times during a debate where your opponent can say, no, that's a lie. Let's roll some tape.
BS, right. I happen to have the tape right here. Well, Mike, I want to thank you so much for holding on the line so long, and I appreciate that. I hope that it's not as I hope that this settles down, that the eruption of the blatant racism, sexism, that and for those of you who are celebrating, this is happening. It's happening on a personal level. My son witnessed his high school classmates. My son is 13 years old, and there were racial slurs used about Tammy Duckworth the day after, also disparaging her handicap. These are teenagers, and their parents have taught them this.
I'm just wondering if there's racial slurs against the Thai?
Well, because they generalize. I mean, I was called a chink in my neighborhood.
Well, I hope that the protesters form a counter protest on Inauguration Day.
Yeah. Oh, you can count on that.
Yeah.
All right.
Mike, keep listening, keep showing up, and we want to hear from you again. And after this week, I think we all need to check in with each other next week, the week, you know, in a few months. And you and I maybe have to, we'll register for our FOID cards together, and hopefully we never have to use them.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Mike, I want to cheer you up. I don't know what to do. All right. Charles wanted to join the conversation. My producer says that you're fairly jubilant tonight, Charles. Why is that?
Well, I'm pretty jubilant. I must tell you, I'm a local politician here, Illinois, and yes, I did vote for Donald Trump.
Okay.
I look at the way our situations are. No, I don't like some of his rhetoric, but he's run for office for president before, and I believe the only reason why he got a lot of traction this time because Hillary was not the candidate. Yes, she has a lot of experience, but we need some new ideology. Not only do we need new ideology, we need new people and young people to get involved.
When you say ideology, can you please tell me what Donald Trump's ideology is then?
Well, it's for me, and because I have got to be in the room where he was, I didn't go up and meet him and run and jump in his face, but I've listened to people that know him. And because he's been in a lot of negotiation circles, he does know how to communicate to people. He has bullied people in a lot of ways, but I've watched him give his olive branch speech to Hillary, and I think that was a start. And
okay, but Charles, I'm asking, since you did watch that, so what are his system of ideas and ideals that has formed the basis of his economic or political theory and policy? What is it? What is his ideology?
I don't believe he has. I don't believe he has that. But I believe he has some good ideas. And let me give you an example. Like in Florida, where he lives, he bought that big, huge American flag, and the community he lives in, they didn't want to have a gun. They settled on that. But he has been pro-American on his terms and his views for a long time. And I don't discredit that.
But Charles, you said that you wanted to vote for him to change a new ideology. So, but I want to know what that new ideology.
Okay, well let me explain the new ideology. This something different, and meaning Hillary's been around a long time. Donald's been not in politics. We need a leader, a person that can take everyone's views, crystallize them, and put it out there. And I believe he can do that.
Okay.
And
so,
I don't believe he's done it in the past. No, I don't. But looking at what we had, my vote wasn't really just for Donald. It was for something different. Because if you look at our economy, if you look at, I think Barack Obama did some wonderful things. He didn't have the Congress and the Senate on his side all the time.
Right.
And he was able to do some things. He was an eloquent speaker.
Do you think that the fact that unemployment is at 4.9% was something that was going to happen anyway? Or is it perhaps any relation to the administration over the last 8 years?
I have to say it was part of the administration and also part of some of the people that are in business saying, let's make it look better. And because what your other guy said that I thought was so wonderful. They do not want the General Electric to be able to go to a computer and everybody vote. It's never going to happen.
No, I agree with that.
They only want the informed or the misinformed or the disenchanted to go out and vote. I am so proud of the millennials, but I'm upset because I talk to a lot of them and they're frustrated. They were Bernie Sanders people. I thought Bernie Sanders, watching him, was a wonderful man, wonderful speaker. He's been an alderman. He's been a mayor. He's been a congressman. He's been a senator. He's been around a long time.
And do you think that...
If I thought the money, if it wasn't just about the money, I believe Bernie Sanders' message would have been overall the best message. That's what I believe.
Okay, so...
But when it came down to the two candidates for leading our country into the future... What I thought, and I said a prayer first, and I thought, okay, we got Hillary, then we're going to get much of the same. And our stock market and everything said, yeah, because Hillary's going to win, everything's going to be the same. When it came to Donald winning and everything just went way out of proportion and started coming back a little bit, I think his plan is what's going to take us forward.
But what's his plan?
If he doesn't have, well, that's what I'm saying. If he doesn't crystallize a plan, he'll be there 2.5-3 years, and we'll be looking for another president.
Okay, one last thing, Charles. I want to touch on as a leader. I mean, do you think that this sort of hostility and racism and misogyny that has erupted blatantly now in the last couple of days is that something that we should just sort of dismiss, and that has absolutely nothing to do with the candidate, the way the candidate ran his campaign?
Well, I'm going to say this, and I'm a black male, and I'm proud of being a black male. I'm proud of being an American citizen. I want the national agenda to be about taking care of America.
That wasn't my question.
I don't like a lot of the things.
So, Charles, I'm going to ask you to lock down. I'm going to ask you to lock down on this question. You said that you're a politician here in the Chicagoland area. Yeah. Do you think that the sort of hostility, the racism and misogyny was a result of the way he ran his campaign?
No. I think what he touched on, he hit a major vein that's been an undercurrent thing for a long time. The race, it has never gone away. And what he was able to do is get those people that have crystallized clear, they want the white America back that they used to have. They want all these things back. All he did was bring it up, and I believe in my heart of hearts that millennials are not going to accept that. And I'm going to tell you something.
Apologize, sir. It was we've run out of time. And to our listener, Elizabeth, who called and said that there was somebody who was beaten up for being a Trump supporter, yes, that story is available on the Chicago Tribune website. And violence is not acceptable toward anyone. That is horrible. And I'm so disappointed this election season has encouraged that kind of behavior on both sides.